Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this October 26th, 2022, 10:05 on the clock, and you have your host, James J. Maloff, here. I'm going to be joined at 10:30 by our friends from the ODC. Looking forward to hanging out with Carla and the gang. That's going to be fun. Always enjoy talking with them. Right now, we have in studio Lance Plimmel, Wood County Board Chairman. We usually have Wisconsin Rapids Community Media in. Not going to be able to have Taylor and the gang in today, but we do send a shout-out to them, and looking forward to them getting the audio for this conversation on their webpage and all that, and a big thank you to all the work they do. Lance, how you doing?
I'm doing great, James. Thanks for having me again.
Good to hear. I know that you and I enjoy conversating. We never really have a outline necessarily, but we always seem to fill the time well. And I just wanted to thank you not only for that, but all you do in the community and some of the pregame conversations we've had over the years. I always enjoy. And I, if you don't mind, I wouldn't mind taking that one we were just talking about and bringing it to the on air here a little bit, because just in that minute we were just talking there, I found it very fascinating. And honestly, a lot of stuff that as a non-homeowner, I don't think of and I don't know. So do you mind if we dive right into that?
No, I think that's great. And what's really funny is, you know, saying that we don't have an agenda in front of us. We don't. I mean, this is absolutely free-flowing. Mm-hmm. You know, when James and I talk, I say, ask whatever you want. We'll go any direction. And mm-hmm. It does. The time goes quickly. So what we're talking about before we got on air is I said I had a conversation the other day, a call from, a very well-known person in the Wisconsin Rapids community that said, have you ever thought about changing the property tax revenue to more of a consumption tax, sales tax? Something that to some extent, you know, you hear people all the time always say, those who make more should pay more. Now, I'm not saying I'm in agreement or disagreement with anything I'm saying, but if you move to a consumption tax, a sales tax, and you moved away from property tax, which is extremely onerous on the elderly, as incomes mm-hmm. or older people who have left the workforce, as their income somewhat usually contracts and dwindles mm-hmm. a little bit, you still have a fairly heavy property tax burden, and you acquired that property over time. So the League of Municipalities, the Towns Association, the Wisconsin Counties Association, top of mind in every one of those is how do we change the tax structure where we garner most of our local tax revenues, obviously through property tax, and have a consumption tax. Now, I don't know what that'll mean in terms of rate, but let's say, for instance, a 10% sales tax instead of a 5.5% sales tax could fund everything as opposed to the property tax revenues. Mm-hmm. That's a much more progressive tax, much less regressive. Now, obviously, you have to put the numbers at. I don't know if that would be 8%, if it would be 10%. But it's something that every one of those organizations, I think there's a little bit of traction in the state legislature. It's hard to turn the Titanic. And, you know, if you have something that to some extent has worked, it's hard to change. But as we look forward, as we look at the both geographic location of people within the state, the demographics, it's something that has to happen. Mm. So, we need to have this conversation. It needs to be ongoing, and it's something we're certainly looking at. And what James and I, one of the things we're talking about is we've got 75,000 people out there in this county, mm-hmm. and we get some great conversations with those, some great ideas. And, you know, one of the things I like about being on this show, if nothing else, if we don't answer your questions, if we don't touch on anything, is, maybe you know who I am, or maybe you know who your board member is, and you give us a call.
Yeah. Lance, with the tax conversation, and just on the surface here, not to do a deep dive necessarily, although I'm going to do a little homework on this, and maybe next time we get together, we can talk a little more in depth about it when I actually know what I'm talking about. But on the surface, pluses and minuses to something like that. Like it seems like right away out the gate, what you mentioned there about helping our elderly, our retired community. That's obviously a big part of what Rapids is. I don't know the percentage of our population that is that, but we all know that it's a good percentage. So it seems pretty like, okay, well, you got my attention right there with that. That seems like a positive, certainly.
Well, you know, I'll preface it this way. I always laugh when, whether it be income tax or property tax, everybody says, everybody should pay their fair share. Well, I've never heard anybody define for me what fair share is. And then I always hear them say, and the wealthy should pay more. And I'm mm-hmm. going, well, define wealthy for me? Where do you draw that line? I mean, there's a big difference between, let's say, a millionaire and a billionaire.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
significantly.
I always like to use the example. We all think that we all understand Oprah Winfrey got a lot of money, very rich woman. If Steve Jobs had woken up when he was alive with Oprah's bank account, he'd have jumped out a window. Like, there's a huge difference of being rich and being filthy rich.
Mega rich. And so what it comes down to, though, is the concept of if that's what you feel, if that's the thought, if you went to a consumption tax where it's a sales tax, who consumes more? Typically people who have more income. And it just, in effect, balances itself. And what a property tax does is you have a couple or an individual that worked their whole life. They accumulated some assets. They have a home. And all of a sudden they're faced with, you know, it depends what municipality you're in, a $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 a year tax bill that consistently goes up, while you actually consume less, and a greater part of your income becomes allocated to paying that property tax bill. And we've seen people who have had to relocate out of their longtime homes and sell those properties just to make ends meet. It's just not the best way to run a business going forward. And, you know, it's one of the things we have to look at. You know, the other side of that is you look at highway transportation aids and funds. You know, much of that's gas tax. If you really truly are going to move to electric vehicles, well, there is no gas consumption. And if there's no gas consumption, how do we derive the revenues to fix the roads? You know, an electric vehicle going down the road basically does the same damage to the road as a gas-powered vehicle. So then do you go to, and believe me, when I say this, I want to be calling me saying you're an advocate of, because I am not necessarily, but do you go to vehicle miles traveled? Mm-hmm. Do you go to a registration fee that's greater? I don't know, you know, vehicle miles traveled, I've been a little bit against that to some extent, unless you have an exemption for the first X number of miles, because if you live in a rural area and you have to drive to get food and you're people who produce things that others consume, you obviously use more fuel, more gas. Yeah. If you live in the city, I always laugh when people say, well, what do I care what the cost of gas is? I walk to the grocery store. A large part of the population doesn't do that. They have to get to work, and a lot of those provide product that you use in your house. So interesting conversations everywhere on how we go with structure.
And not the last time we'll be talking about it, I'm sure. Right? You know, it sounds like, especially behind, you know, on the board and everything, it's definitely not something that's going away anytime soon.
You know, it has to happen. You know, you go to some of these states, and I travel a fair amount in my role, and, you know, I get in places where there are 10% sales taxes or more. There's, you know, county, city, hotel, motel. I mean, by the time you add everything up, I was at one recently, I think the tax bill was about 22% of the total that I did. Now, I'm not advocating we pay 22%, but there's got to be a number there where it's fair, it's reasonable, and it minimizes the burden on property tax.
We're again speaking with Lance Plumel, Wood County Board Chairman. And Lance, whether it's this conversation or other ones we've had in the past, you have mentioned a number of times, this isn't my belief, this is just what we're doing or what we're thinking of doing or something like that. And I want to talk a little bit about some of the job openings that are available with the county and certainly getting people on the board. This is something you and I have talked about the last couple of times we've gotten together about encouraging community members to get involved. You have done such a... I think we've known each other for a couple of years here, and and I have talked on and off air a bit and everything, but I genuinely don't know really if somebody asked me, what's Lance's belief on this or this or this? I wouldn't be able to tell them. I could tell them what you've said as a board member. I find that very awesome, but also really tough to do nowadays. Like it's very difficult to do that. Most people that get on a board or get into any kind of political spectrum or whatever, part of what they're doing is, I mean, you know exactly what they stand on, where they feel. But that's not the point of politics. That's not the point of being on a board. It's not about you. It's not about your beliefs. It's about your constituents' beliefs, your community's beliefs. You seem to get that. You seem to believe in that. Are you seeing still, like with newer board members and those things, are you still seeing that, or is that something that we're seeing like get farther away?
You know, it's a little different at the local level. You know, we all participate in policy, but to some extent, whether they be county board members or your local officials, all the people, town board members, it's not politically bent. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have a D or an R after your name.
Right.
You deal in policy. And one of the things I've always tried to be pretty clear on is, when we're talking about policy from the county, I will always expound upon the view of the board. Mm-hmm. Now, there are issues that come before the board where I may be on one side of the issue, a majority is on the other side, And if that side wins, in effect, if that issue passes, if that's the will of the board, then that's, you know, that's got to be my take. Mm-hmm. There were more people who thought we should go that direction, and that's what we talk about,
yeah.
You know, the direction the board went. Occasionally, some, you know, a radio host will ask me somewhere, they'll go, all right, let's take that out of the picture. What are your thoughts?
Right, right.
I try to stay away, you know, I try to make it very clear. Am I talking about myself or the board? So, you know, I think we're seeing, I still believe, if you went out in the public, that 80% of the people out there fall somewhere in the middle of a spectrum. If it would be somewhat like a bell curve.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got people that are extremely far left, extremely far right, and they tend to be extremely vocal.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a vast majority that are somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
And yet the part that I always have to explain to everybody is, no matter where you are on that spectrum, there's pretty deeply held beliefs. And in most cases, and I have this argument with my friends who maybe politically would be aligned with me, I say, I don't believe that the difference in opinion is a will to ruin America.
Mm-hmm.
It's a completely different thought process, how we get there. Their idea is maybe a better country. And I may disagree absolutely that it's better.
Sure.
But I don't necessarily believe that in most cases it's, I want to tear down the country.
No.
So locally, I think if we looked at Marshfield, if we looked at Wisconsin Rapids and all the communities in between, we're generally on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody might be two clicks left or right and a couple the other direction. But all in all, you don't see those kind of arguments here. Now, when we get to the state capital or the federal government, that's a different story. And, you know, over the last, I always laugh when I tell the story. You know, most of mine begin with, well, 20 years ago when I was in college. Mm-hmm. Well, let me tell you, that's 40 years ago, not 20.
Right.
You know, but we have seen that divide widen to some extent. And oftentimes when you're in that political arena, if you don't play ball with the people in charge, then you have lousy committee assignments.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a voice in the
conversation. The politics of politics.
The politics of politics. Mm-hmm. And so over those years when I've many times been asked to run for some of those offices by some I said, you wouldn't like me when I got there. And I don't care if you ran with a D or an R after your name. Because, you know, I'm voting for what I think is right all the time. And it may not align with the party.
Yeah.
And so no matter where I was, I don't think you'd probably like me at the end of the day.
What I'm a fan, I'll tell you that. One of the things that's got me worried right now, and this started about 2 months ago when I was still teaching on a consistent basis, and as we're not the only state in the political spectrum here, you know, where I was teaching in Illinois, they're going through it too, and some of the younger people that I'm talking to are my young students, and I would say if I talk to 10 people, 7 of those 10 are engaged and caring. I'm very hopeful and impressed by the younger generation and the way they have gotten involved in their communities and this. I think we see a lot more of that than not. But what makes me worried is those 3 other kids that could not care less. They're done. They're burnt out already. They're not even 20 and they're burnt out of politics. I'm tired of the divide. I turn on the TV. I see this commercial saying don't vote for this guy. And the very next commercial is telling me not to vote for that guy. And they don't know what to do. That's too much. And with that, not only are they disengaging from politics and learning what's going on in their world and their community, but they're not joining, they're not being on boards, they're not running for offices. And more we go along, this is only going to pick up and gain steam, and nobody's talking about this. But if we continue to be a society that all we do in the media is tear down our politicians and our representatives and all this, who's going to want to do these jobs? I'm not saying that there obviously has to be accountability. There obviously has to be conversation, debate. That's what our country is built on. But if all we do is give you negative, 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 negative about every single one of these people, who's going to want to do those jobs? We're having a hard enough time getting people to want to get into the ag industry. I mean, and that's an industry that has a give and a take into it and everything. Who's going to want to do politics if we all do as a society? All of us are to blame for this, by the way, if that's all we do.
Yeah, and even those that are engaged, you know, I'm amazed. I really, truly believe we need more civic education in school, more government education. I've had some pretty, I think, astute, intelligent people ask me recently, you know, why isn't the person I voted for, whether it be the state senator or U.S. senator, why isn't their name on the ballot? Aren't they running? And I said, well, U.S. senators serve six-year terms, and every 2 years, a third of them are on the ballot. And they'll go, or you'll see a commercial, like you said, the negative commercials. You know, one of the ones, it just goes both ways, but one of the ones that amazed me the other day, and if you understand government, you know, it just can't happen. And my wife asked me the other day, she said, well, don't they have to be true? I said, no, because oftentimes I know both candidates, you know, personally to some extent. I know neither one would say that, but when I hear a commercial that says, you know, Senator X voted to ban abortion, let's say, which is a hot issue right now. The Congress of the United States did not vote on that issue ever. It was a Supreme Court decision. So I'm going, yeah, that doesn't happen. Or I'll hear the other side of the aisle, you know, with another issue. I'm going, not only didn't it occur, if you know anything about government, it can't occur. So that's the point. Do your research. Like you said, James, you know, get involved. There are often times where, outside being an elected official, there's the opportunity to serve on boards and commissions throughout the county. If nothing else, you kind of get your foot in the door. You know, you start to understand how boards and commissions work. And that's typically how most people get involved in the political spectrum. You know, I was a business person in this town. Still am. And, you know, that business community came to me 25 years ago or 30 years ago and said, we would like that option to have that kind of opinion expounded upon on the board. Have you ever thought of running? And the answer was no. And then they came to my house several times with nomination papers and said, here, go get these filled out. And eventually, you know, you get asked. And then when you get involved, you tend to get asked to be on more boards. And eventually you end up where you are today.
One of the beauties of our system as far as voting people into office and all these things is that anybody at a certain age can do this. You know, you're 35 and above, you can be president, all these things. I think it's one of the beauties of democracy and one of the beauties of our country. But the longer we go into this, the more I wonder, and I'm going to ask every one of our representatives and Congress and senators to join us this. Do you think that there should be a school for politics where you have to learn these things before you can run for office? Knowing the three branches of government, for God's sake. I mean, some of these things that we've seen people win elections and not even understand, not even know. And then we get bent out of shape when the American public isn't common knowledge to them. I go back to what you were saying before about having more of this in school. I think that that's a part of this, as well as maybe possibly that. We have... Nobody gets to just walk into a surgery room and say, I'm going to be a doctor. I'm going to do a surgery. Like, you have to go to school for that. Politics, there's so much at stake. There's too much at stake for just basically just anybody who has enough money to run to do this, because that's the other problem, the money in politics. Now, you ain't going to get that out of there anytime soon. But if we can do, we can counter it. And if you have a standard that is set so that not just... I should not be a public official. I should not run for office. I should not be elected of anything. I'm popular enough that maybe I could get some votes here and everything like that, but I don't belong behind the chair of anything. But hey, maybe I get maybe my ego kicks in and all of a sudden I want to be on money, you know, or something like that, and I start getting into the political game. I don't belong in it.
Like, well, yeah, you ought to know the job description. You know,
at least.
And I always laugh when somebody comes in and they said, you know, I'm a member of this board, I'm going to run to be the president or the chairman or something else, and go, well, do you know what they do? Well, no. I think you should probably, you know, start somewhere and work your way up. And there really should be, to some extent, I don't want to call it schooling, but I mean, it might be life experience. But yeah, I mean, you really should know what you're doing. And oftentimes this happens with, I'll call it, single issue candidates. There's a very important single issue within a community. And the person gets elected based on that issue. And then they end up in the position, and that issue gets resolved in the first week. And now they're either not interested or they have no clue what government does or what that arm of government that they're elected in does. And that becomes troublesome. So then, you know, if you want to call it the rest of the board or maybe the chairman of the board, it's our job to mentor, to bring them along, to sit them down and say, what can we answer for you? I can't tell you how to vote or what to do. I always tell people, I'm the board chair. I get one vote. And generally, I don't debate an issue. you know, I chair the meeting. But at the end of the day, I often get asked, why did you do this? What's your thoughts on this? Mm. How does that happen? And that's where, you know, everybody out there in this community, I made a speech, I don't know, a couple months ago to a very large group. And the thing I talked about most was being a mentor. Mm. You know, I didn't have the opportunities that I have today if somebody wouldn't have taken me by the hand, whether that been in business, politically, or just in the community. I mean, when I first moved to this community, and I'm going to use an example, and it doesn't have to be that organization, but somebody said to me, you know, you ought to be a member of the Elks organization. Mm-hmm. Well, what do? They told me what they did, and I said, yeah, that's something I think I could be a part of. And then somebody mentored me along, and I don't want to leave anybody out, but, you know, that can be any of those organizations. You know, Elks, Kiwanis, you know.
There's a thousand of them out there. They're all great.
They're out there everywhere.
Yeah.
And but you need somebody to take you by the hand. In business, you know, I didn't walk in the first day and say, you know, I'm going to open up 4 restaurants and nightclubs.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody somewhere, I worked for them. They trained you. They mentored you. You learn that. Same thing politically. I think that you really have to have somebody who you look up to. And then once you reach a certain point, you have to say, now it's my turn to actually spend some time to mentor, to work with them.
Yeah, I think we're right. We're almost on the same page exactly, because I don't want to make it a thing where you have to have a degree. You have to graduate from something to
and
be
I
able
know
to
what you
run.
Meant. You just need you have to have a vision.
You know, just some credits, some college credits or something. I don't know.
I've often said that, you know, I think everybody in the country should have to serve in some office somewhere,
agreed,
someplace. And you wouldn't get those phone calls where they're just screaming at you. You get those conversations would say, have you ever thought about? And that was a conversation I had the other day, and I actually said that we talked about it right at the start of the show. And I said to that person, that's been top of the agenda. But hearing you in the community, somebody who's been a leader in the community, say, I'm thinking of this too. Mm. Same person asked me a question one day. They said, why? This is how it starts sometimes, very simple. They said, why do they parallel park cars in front of the courthouse instead of angle park them, because you could park twice as many?
Mm.
And I said, you know, it's funny because I've actually brought that up over the years to our maintenance people. Well, part of it is the way the road is configured.
Yeah.
But I said, how about when we redo the road or the street, we reconfigure it so we could park 40 cars instead of 10 cars? But somebody in the public noticed that. And I get those often where I go, I didn't think of that, or I thought about it and I forgot about it. But if you get 3 or 4 calls like that, you go, hey, maybe we're onto something.
Yeah, yeah. That's a great example, too, of why we need the community engaged. We need more people engaged in these conversations and talking about these things and sharing this kind of information. There are plenty of boards that are looking for good people. I encourage people out there to look into that. Certainly, our Wood County Board is looking for good people. There's a lot of other nonprofits out there that are. I cannot encourage people to do that enough. I also wanted to let people know, certainly like the Wood County Board's webpage and Facebook page. It's a great way to keep up to date on some of the things going on in our county, but also a lot of jobs that are being opening up. There's some nice stuff about the Wood County Jail groundbreaking and that. I encourage people to follow along with it. But if people have specific questions for you, Lance, or anything, how can they reach you?
Well, first of all, my name and number and everything are located right on the website, so you can find me there. If you don't already know it, most people in town seem to know it. I happened to look the other day. I think I was looking up a phone number, and I think I had about 50 Jims or James alone in my contact list as I was scrolling through. But yes, there's library boards, there's fair boards, there's wildlife advisory committees, there's ancillary committees to other boards, and not just at the county level. You know, cities, towns, villages, they're looking for people to sit on their planning and zoning, you know, boards or commissions. I mean, there are many, many opportunities to be involved. And some of them aren't even boards. I mean, you look at our smaller communities, most of them have volunteer fire departments.
Right.
Those are opportunities. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of places to volunteer.
Yeah.
And I'd encourage that you do that.
Always appreciate the time. Looking forward to talking again next month, Lance.
Are we done already?
I know.
Unbelievable.
I just barely noticed that it was time to go to commercial.
Yeah, we'll have to start doing an hour. Thanks,
that
James.
Sounds good. Take care, Lance.
Appreciate
Stick
it.
Around, everybody. More Morning Magazine coming up with our friends from the ODC here at WFHR.